Siempre Pa'lante presents The Aguacate Chronicles. Aguacate, dímelo. Aguacate, dímelo. Hola, mi gente. We are back for season 2 of The Aguacate Chronicles. I'm your host, Hirabo Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. A big aguacate shout out goes to all the amazing guests in season 2. Thank you for sharing your favorite foods and beverages you love growing up and enjoy to this day. This is what inspired the Aguacate Chronicles. Now, we can't talk about culture without food. It's everything and more. Food unites us. It brings us together. I invited mi hermana Renata Sampaio, a Renaissance woman, entrepreneur, psychoanalyst, head of logistics, photographer, musician, and of course, an amazing chef. She reps Brazil and all the amazing things this beautiful country has to offer, starting with la comida, the food. This episode features Bren Herrera and her love for cafecito y flan. That's not all. Renata shares her story, Brazil's national dish and cocktail, not to mention lots of coffee and desserts and a few other mouth-watering surprises. Stay close to the kitchen or your favorite food delivery app because you will be hungry. So let's break bread, put some aguacate on it, and jump right into this episode. Renata, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, of course. Of course. And we're going to get right into the carne con papas, the meat and potatoes, as I always say. We're going to jump right into it, and we're going to give everyone a taste of, you know, these snippets, these little moments from each episode of season 2 with my guests. They shared some of their favorite dishes or snacks or little comfort foods growing up. And we have some clips we're going to play. And then after we play the clips, we're going to start getting into that conversation and really learn a little bit more. There's history behind all foods, but there's also moments that are special that people share. And we're going to learn about Renata as well in a lot of her exploits, because let me tell you, like I said, Renaissance woman. Yes, oh. Renaissance woman. Yes, but Renata, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from. I gave away some things, but let the people hear.
All right. So I'm originally from Brazil, and I am sure we can connect in so many ways through food. I mean, that's the international language, especially for us from South America, Central America. We have way too many connections, and I am sure they can explore a little bit. So I'm here in the U.S. for quite some time now. Let's leave the numbers away. You know, let's not tell our ages over here, okay? But I'm here long enough to understand that food, that's the way to go. That's the way that we can connect with people. And since this was something so present in my life back in Brazil, now the kitchen is the main home of the house. Anyways, we can connect through food. We can make, this is an expression of love. Let's put it this way. So we can talk about that.
Yes, it is. And tell us a little bit about some of the things that you do. I mean, your professional achievements and milestones, because again, there's a reason, and I'm gonna keep saying this, Renaissance woman. So share with us a little bit about that.
My professional background related to food, it's I was working in an industry that didn't necessarily love it. Nothing related to food. And I was let go and I said, oh my gosh, I need to reinvent myself. This is the opportunity that we have. So let's go for food. Let's go for cooking. So I went to cook school. New York, and what is the best place to learn from other than New York? I mean, you're going to have all sort of foods, people from everywhere. You're going to learn a lot, be exposed to a lot. So I went to culinary school, something that I always wanted to do. You know, it was in the blood. You know, my family used to have a few restaurants back in Brazil. So that life was always familiar to me. And I decided to go learn a lot, work in a restaurant in the city for a couple of years, did some private chef for some interesting people in New York, the Hamptons, the hustle to go all the way to Long Island. That lovely New York life that we all need to experience in some point. And cooking for my friends and family, this is the joy of it. So ultimately, I did not follow 100% to focus on only cooking professionally, because like I said, we are many things. Have other passions. I love photography. I was always wanted to be an artist, and that talent didn't come through. So let's find art in a different way. And food was my expression of that passion that I had. And I'm also a psychoanalyst. So you name it, you know, if there was a hustle involved, like, I did it all.
What's interesting here is, before we get into this, because, you started saying some things, and who was that early influence in your familia that spawned this? Because you talk about the different hustles, but you're following your passions in different routes, because you said art is a form of expression, but art can be done in very different ways through different avenues and practices and crafts and things. And you said photography, but then you love art. Then you mentioned food. So tell us a little about who was that early influence in your family that pretty much created this Renaissance woman.
Sure. And still is. It's minha vozinha. It's my grandmother. She's still that woman, you know, that matriarch, and everybody follow all the, especially this thing about doing many things to achieve your ultimate goal, you know, being that flexible person that will attempt different things to achieve what you have to. It came from her. So yes, the art thing, I did music for 7 years, and I was sure that I was going to be a musician at one point. My early days, that didn't work out. That came with the influence from her. You know, she was always involved in church and all that kind of stuff. We play, we sing. And the food, it still is. Like, for instance, I go to Brazil often. Every other year, I go to Brazil. The biggest room in the house is still the kitchen. It's still the kitchen. She has two ovens, always something cooking. There's always a smell of something in the oven, or in the stove, or some, well, we come from a tropical country, so we have access to so many fruits, so many different kinds of food, the mix of the Africans, the mix of the Europeans, with the colonization of the Portuguese, the influence of the Indians, because that is a huge part of it. Yucca, that is totally native for us. You know, this is something that is on a daily basis, something that is very present. So that influence came from her. She always cooked the meal in the house. Oh, we always had a meal ready in the house, because that was the main focus, take care of the family. And we're big. We have a lot of family members. So she was taking care of a bunch of grandkids and kids. It was always a big thing, and still is. Like I said, our family had a few restaurants in Brazil, because we like to party a lot also. So her kids start being adventurous a little and opening restaurants in Brazil. She was involved, you know. She was the one with tempero, with the adobo, with the whole, you know, that special care, the special love that we have to use it. This is just like, it's a DNA. It's a thing. You can't run away from it. So, yeah, it comes from that main woman, you know, and it still does.
So, you know, we cannot get into the Aguacate Chronicles, El Momento del Aguacate, Avocado Chronicles, however you want to say it, mi gente, without learning your favorite dish. Now, I know this is tough to narrow it down, but what's one staple dish that really was, I mean, and it doesn't have to be a main dish. It could be something that always had to be. It was part of the pretty much the whole setup, right? Like if it wasn't there, I know in my family, and I've said it so many times, people know on the show, aguacate, plantains, plátano verde, maduro, also yellow bananas. I mean, el que come, what was the saying? My mom says it's so funny, el que come banana gana, you know, or something like that.
Well, listen, I come from a state that it's known for its food. I come from Minas Gerais, and that's the place to go to eat. If you're going to go to Brazil, you can't talk to anybody, that is a destination to go to eat. So I can't run away of our national dish is the feijoada. Feijoada, I mean, that is, it's a beans, pork, fat, a lot of vegetable, and vegetables, and it comes the best combination with a caipirinha, which is cachaça, lime juice, and sugar. Those are the national staples of the country, and there is a reason for it. It's not only because it is delicious. Let's be honest. You know, it comes with the right rice. Off, obviously, we wouldn't leave the rice away because beans and rice is just like regular Monday through Sunday basic staples of our food too. So feijoada com caipirinha is a way to have people connect. If you want to do something in a weekend, it can be, I don't know, 100 degrees weather, let's make a feijoada. You will have some people in your house for sure. This is a common thing. Like, for instance, we have a big Brazilian community over here. New York, Newark. Newark has a huge Brazilian community. Go Saturday to any Brazilian restaurant down in Newark and ask what is the main dish of the day. It will be feijoada for sure. And it is delicious. Come on. It's a black bean stew with pork, cured sausage. Then you cook that with the orange to balance it out, the fat of the parts of the pork that you put, because you put it everything. You put ears, you put the fatty ones, you know, the delicious umami feeling and taste that will come through, because we need the fat, we need the salt, you need the bitterness and with collard greens. So that it's a perfect meal. You're going to have, I mean, you can eat it every day, otherwise you're going to have a heart attack, but you can definitely enjoy it. It is something that I'm sure you had it, you know, like, or even in, back home, you know, one of my birthdays, I did feijoada, for God's sakes. If you're my friend, for sure, you cross paths with feijoada in some point.
You have just, it's so early. It's never too early to eat any types of foods, but my stomach is playing the congas right now. All I hear is like, it's just the calling out, because the way you described it, that in itself is un don, un talento, a talent to describe the food. And I know I've personally have had the blessing and honor to be in your kitchen, invited over with my amazing wife, Andrea, who's a good friend of yours, very good friend. And we've gotten a chance to really see you in action. And the way you describe each ingredient, but then you watch us as we take that first bite, that first sip of the caipirinha. It's, that is the most gratifying thing, not just for the person eating, but for you, because you make it with love and you want to feel that, like that energy, that vibe, like you enjoyed it, it's good. And that's the joy. It doesn't matter how long you spent making it or how the kitchen looks after, right? Like it does, none of those things matter. It's putting a smile on someone's face and that comfort, it's comfort food, you know, yeah. You know, there's, so that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. We haven't even gotten started and we're already making people hungry.
Yes. You see, I'm giving away just my main dish. There's a lot to come.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
To all my potential sponsors, I want you to think about, insert your brand name here. Close your eyes and envision a world in which we are blessed with revenue streams that benefit our collaboration. My creative possibilities are endless. Whether you're a company that revolves around a fruit like the avocado from Mexico, maybe, or a cafecito, a coffee from Brazil or Colombia, I got you covered. Let's connect. My people will talk to your people. Who knows? This can be the beginning of a beautiful business relationship. Think about it. Now back to the show.
So first off, we're going to just share with everyone, there was 28 total episodes on Siempre Pa'lante, technically 30 because there was a part one and two in some of the recaps. But when you really break down El Momento del Aguacate, the avocado moment, there was 23. So we're going to break this out into different episodes, but this is 23 you're going to experience, 23 different foods and backgrounds and things. And we're going to break it down, tell you some fun stories. And it's interesting, it's 23. We were talking about that. The year is 2023. And when you compile all the minutes, when I was doing, just setting everything up, it's 23 minutes, 23 clips, 23 minutes, 2023. I love it. It was meant to be. We're going to first start off, we're going to get things going here with episode one. And my good friend, you know, Afro-Cubana, Bren Herrera. She's an entrepreneur, a TV host, a chef, an author, a lifestyle and travel writer, a social activist, a stylist. I could keep going on and on. She's also a three-time winner of the Taste Awards for her show, The Culture Kitchen, on Cleo TV. Amazing human being. The episode is one of my favorites. I would say all the episodes are one of my favorites because I learned so much from the guests. And her clip, probably one of the shortest, but when we are about to play, we're about to play this clip and you hear it, you're going to go, whoa, okay. Like it, those two things she mentioned were very powerful. So let's hear this.
El cafecito y el flan. Si no hay café en la casa, la cosa se derrumba aquí. Y el flan, like there's always flan.
You heard it, cafecito y el flan.
Oh, come on. How can you go wrong with that? The sugar, the coffee. I tell everybody coffee. Coffee is my drug of choice because, come on, it is something else.
When I said to start this whole series, this new season of Aguacate Chronicles, I said, cafecito y flan, that's like the perfect starter right there.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, I have a lot of folks that love coffee, obviously, that, and they say, but first, el café. We got to talk, we got to meet, but okay, where's the coffee? ¿Dónde está el espresso? Espresso, ¿dónde está el cafecito? Whatever it is, and then we can talk. It's the starter. What's some of your favorite pairings, because she talks about cafecito y flan. And I know growing up Cuban, I mean, café cubano.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's one particular drink that is quemadinho, which is the burnt sugar. You know, you got the sugar, you make a little dark caramel, some milk, then that steamed milk, and then a shot of a really strong coffee. Oh my gosh, that in the wintertime. It will bring you memories. That is something else. But coffee for me, the perfect, it's black. That is the king, you know, nothing on it. A good coffee is a good cup of coffee. We'll wake you up. We'll just that first whiff. Oh, that is it. I mean, you don't even need to drink the thing. just that first whiff of the scent, of the smell is a beautiful thing. Now, coffee, I love coffee with chocolate. It goes really well. You know, it makes it a statement. You know, if you want to bring the flavor of chocolate, just put some coffee. Like I said, how can you go wrong with coffee? The combination that she's mentioning, with flan. What is flan? It's caramel, it's condensed milk, and that little custard with a sip of a dark, bitter chocolate. Look again, the bitterness, the sweetness, and oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Yes, it's a match made in heaven. And to me, the memories I have with Cafecito, it literally breakfast, lunch, dinner, and in between throughout the day. I mean, growing up Cuban in a Cuban household, I mean, mom, dad, that was it. Over the years, I've learned to adjust the sugar intake because we know too much sugar can result in some health issues, right? So a little bit. So, you know, moderation, a little bit of moderation. But one thing I've learned, and I thank my amazing wife, Andrea, for literally watching me. And I'll never forget that day. And we were dating and she's over the house and I'm making some coffee and I'm dumping the sugar. And she's like, how much sugar did you just put in that coffee? I was like, oh, I do this all the time. And she goes, so immediately she goes on the phone and do you know how much sugar intake you're like, your entire daily intake is in one little cafecito and this is your first one of the day.
And that's why men live longer, because of their wives controlling the sugar.
So true. And so I've limited the amount to the point where I do indulge from time to time. When in Miami, forget it. That's it. There's no barrier. There's nothing. I literally have my cafecito cubano, cortadito, colada. But at home, it's the espresso with coconut milk, unsweetened coconut milk, which a lot of people go, wait a second, you have no sugar. I was like, no, weaned myself off of it. And now the coconut milk, that substitute is so delicious. That little splash, perfect. And that's how the day starts for Gerardo Luis Alvarez. Every single day, there's a little coffee. Maybe there's one, two. I got to watch myself, you know, because I know she's watching me sometimes and more times than not. And I got to watch myself with how much cafecito.
Well, I can't see that, you know, like we can't drink that delicious coffee with milk and sugar every day. But the black, for instance, in Brazil, all the households, they will have a thermal, because you do coffee in the morning, coffee in the afternoon, and you get a little pito. Pito is just like a little bit of coffee here and there, just that pick me up. Especially, you know, back in the day, people used to smoke a little bit more than they do now. Every time they would have a little bit of coffee, that little pick me up, I still have a thermal. I brought one from Brazil, for God's sakes, okay? So, you know, among many things that I brought from Brazil here, the thermal is one of them. I always have hot coffee at home, just for that little pick-me-up.
Right. What's your favorite brand? I mean, you're a coffee drinker, but is there one that really stands out to you?
I'm a suspect, because again, Minas Gerais, which is the state that I'm from, is the biggest producer of coffee in the world for export. Brazil have a huge history with coffee production, and we have really good major states over there. It's a major export product for Brazil: coffee, orange juice, soy. So you see a lot of food involved. A lot of food. Oh, Brazil is the seller of the world. Remember that, because the continental sides of the country. So I do have this particular brand that was really popular all throughout my life. It's Café Três Corações. It's a Brazilian brand, but as we grow older and exposed to other things, there's a lot of Portuguese brands that I really like. They perfected the espresso, and you don't necessarily have to pay the price of a good Italian coffee. kind of thing. So I like it, Café Tres Corações, but that is a basic. Looking over here, nowadays we have the luxury to have all this amazing kinds of combinations and Colombian coffee. Come on. We are spoiled. Nowadays we're spoiled. Okay. Nowadays we cannot even complain because you have coffees from all over the world, Ethiopian coffee, Hawaiian coffee. You know, it depends on the mood for now. Like, you want something floral, you can go here. You want something hearty to make, like they say in Brazil, to grow hair out of a chest kind of thing, that strong, you know, black coffee. You have access to it. But there's a coffee that I found it over here. It's a yellow brand. I can't remember the name now, but everybody, it was a Puerto Rican friend that told me about it. And, oh my gosh, it ran out of my mind now, the name of it. But that coffee brought me back home. And I just went to a restaurant close to me, the Cuban restaurant over here in the neighborhood. Did you talk about it?
Yes. Cozy Corner.
Cozy Corner over here in Garwood. It's a Cuban place, and they did have your cafecito, by the way.
Yes, they did.
And so, we're spoiled. I don't have one that I can say that it's totally my favorite.
What's interesting about what you said with the coffee, and, you know, it's a cozy corner Cuban bistro. Yes, big shout out to them. Future guests on the show. Definitely future guests on the show.
Bustelo. That's the name of
Bustelo,
it.
Bustelo, yes. And Bustelo is just like a staple in so many Latino households, Hispanic households, Latinx, however you want to identify, mi gente. Bustelo is one of those things. I think about Bustelo, Pilon, you know, La Llave.
Oh, that's right.
There's a few that, but like you said, we're so spoiled because we can wake up, go on the internet, and I am in the mood for a dark roast from this country. Order it, and it'll be in your house within a week, sometimes within days. And that's it. And you can have it ground coffee or the beans, or however you want it. So yes, we are definitely spoiled. See, Bren Herrera, what you spawned this conversation.
Oh my God.
Just from Cafecito. A little 8-second clip, just Cafecito. And then we got to show love to the flan. Flan is the memories I have of my mom. Mommy, love you. You make the best flan on earth. She doesn't make it as much, but she, when she throws down, she makes a mean flan. Tres Leche. Got to throw in a plug for Tres Leche. Yes. And for people that don't know about the three milks cake, oof, that is, that's heavy. Once that first bite, and when it's done to perfection, like my mom does, olvídate.
I had the pleasure to find out this in America. This wasn't something that we had in Brazil. The flan we called it pudim. And there's a huge discussion too. There's two schools of thought. The pudim, the flan with the little tiny bubbles, and the ones without it. I mean, you got to go to a fight. You got to pick a side kind of thing.
Right. Exactly. No, it's so flan is a staple too. And it just, there's, you know, and every culture makes it different. They have their little spin on it of what the flan is. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way. It's just like you said, the custard, that sweetness, the caramel with the coffee.
Mi gente, my stomach is growling so much it sounds like Mongo Santa Maria y Rey Barreto collaborating on the conga drums. Gracias for taking time out to listen. Show your love for the show and take it a step further. Rate, review, follow, subscribe, like, and share on your favorite podcast platform. We want to hear from you, so don't be shy. Send me a quick DM or email. Special thanks to Bren Herrera, Renata Sampaio, Santiago Ramones on the edit, and DJ Andre Jones of Stat 10 Productions for your support on the intro. Tune in next week, and remember, it's all about the aguacate. Dímelo.